Chapter 12, Genesis, the first five verses. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Father, we covet your sweet presence now in the last part of this service. Speak, we pray, through your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Quite often, the morning and evening sermons are just exactly the same with me. I just turn it over and look from a different standpoint. And tonight I want to continue to talk about beginning, about God's open doors. And though Abraham lived almost 4,000 years ago, his faith and his life and the relationship that he found with God are all amazingly relevant to our needs today. And I believe, the thesis of my message this evening, I believe with all my heart that because God loves each one of us just as much as he loved or loves Abraham, he calls us too to follow him into a covenant relationship. By grace, we can hear and accept God's call. So let's just look then at Abraham, or more properly, he didn't get his name changed, I guess, till when? The 17th chapter? But to Abram's call. First of all, in this first verse, it was a call to leave. Notice there, get thee out of and from out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. And when God calls, it always is a call to somewhere, from somewhere. It's a call to leave. And I believe a physical break is often, or should I say always, necessary. We have to be willing to break with things that have become familiar to us and perhaps have been become comfortable to us. In Abram's case, it wasn't necessarily evil. He'd left Ur of the Chaldees with his father, and they had come as far as Haran. But God said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to leave some things. And I would apply this evening to you and to me, that when God calls, there are some things that we have to say goodbye to. It goes without saying, we have to leave the evil things and the questionable things and the evil places. But as we begin to walk with God, and most of the thrust of my preaching is not to people who are not Christians, but to Christians already, to try and urge you on into holiness and into abundance, it seems to me that God's call is always a call to break with people who will not be a blessing, and whose continued presence in our lives as close companions would tend to drag us down. I'm not saying we shouldn't be friendly with people who are not in the world, that are in the world, that are not Christians. But I recall almost 20 years ago as a young pastor, and having fellowship with other young pastors. I shouldn't even say this. It's kind of the pastors never tell, you know. But there were a number of young pastors that just had too much fun and not enough of depth of spirit. I remember sitting at camp, I think it was a kids' camp, out in the Akron District almost 20 years ago with Reverend George Gribben, who was an ENCer too. Some of you know George, you know him well. But I remember George saying to me, Russ, I just can't do all these things that we're doing, running here and spending our time and having a good time. I'm going to mind God. I'm going through with God if it makes an old fogey out of me. I remember him saying that. And it struck a note in my heart. And while I didn't confess to George and say I'm going to do the same thing, I made up my mind that my close companions were going to be those who wanted to go all the way through with God. I had to be a break. And then this attitude of others may, I cannot, in regard to the actual things that I do. I'm not asking as pastor for a pharisaical attitude that, bless the Lord, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with girls that do. That kind of an attitude. But I'm speaking about a dedication until I would rather please the Lord than anything else. And I have to be willing to let go of questionable things. You know, I was raised up in a legalistic, Pharisaic, almost legalistic. Listen, I had a lot of people that really were filled with the Spirit and loved the Lord, but they laid it on me that if I was going to be a Christian, I wouldn't wear red ties and so on and so forth. But what I'm saying is I've almost swung clear around until there are a lot of things that I just don't do. Not because I can't or because I criticize you if you do it. But I've heard the call to lead. And I have a dedication and I want to follow that call. And Abram's call was a call to leave thy country and thy kindred and thy father's house. It's interesting here too, I believe God's call to us is like Abram's call, a call to break with old models. A lot of us are, you know, the saints we have as models are our pastors or our fathers or our mothers. And God's call was specifically to Abraham to be a better Christian than his father was. In all humility, you know, say, I'm not a better man than my father, and I'm not a better Christian than my father, but I tell you, I want to build on the foundation he gave me, and I want to excel for Christ. Someone at the altar here this morning was saying, I don't want to be mediocre. I want to do all for Christ. I want to be all out for God. Now, I'm not speaking about an arrogance, but I'm speaking about a spiritual ambition, if I could call it that, until I can say no man is going to excel me in being available to God. Until, if possible, I'm going to be a better Christian than my pastor. I'm going to be a better, not a better Christian, that's the wrong way to put it. But you know what I'm saying. Until I'm going to go beyond the human models that I've seen, which brings me to my second point, to seek God's will for my life. God's got something better for you than any pattern that you've ever seen. And the call of Abram was a call to seek a goal, a land that I will show you. What's your goal this evening? I hope you've got some goals, some short-term goals, longer-term goals. But you know, Abram was called to leave a certain good. What he was doing was not evil. But he was called to leave what he knew for an uncertain or an unknown better. God's integrity was on the line. He said, I will show you if you'll follow me, if you'll leave what you know and go to where I want you to go, I'll make something of you. I call upon you this evening to submit your goals to God. Your goal is to make $1 million? Praise the Lord, but submit it to the Lord. If your goal is to be a success, whatever that is, praise the Lord, but submit it to the Lord and be willing to be directed. Let me back up, but remember, you have to leave before you can ever arrive. And if you haven't submitted to his authority, you can't hope to find his promised land. I'll show you. God's call to each one of us is a call to certain greatness, to be great. In God's plan, as Francis Schaeffer's book title says, there are no little people. God calls us all to be as big as we can for the Lord. Our own Dean Monroe said, God will not waste a consecrated life. And I believe that. It's God's business if he does, but he just doesn't do that. And the world may never hear your name or mine, for that matter of fact. But to answer God's call is to make certain that your life work is not going to crumble. When you give yourself to God, it's a call to greatness. And I wish I had the time this evening to tell you of illustration after illustration of real, live, flesh and blood people that have sat where you're sitting. Just ordinary type, ordinary looking type of people that have given themselves wholly to God. Roy Hank, Harry Rich, Raymond Thorpe, Bob Murky. I could go on and on and on and on. Why are they great? Brains? Yes. No. Because they heard God's call. Back then when Dr. Howard Hamlin left a $50,000 a year practice and went to Africa, and God bless him, it was a wonderful thing to do, and we sang This Pair of Hands, and we thought, my, isn't it wonderful that a great man like this would dedicate himself to years of service in Africa. My heart always used to go all over to Africa where Bob Murky was, who never made $50,000 in his whole life, and who's a graduate of McGill University with a medical doctor's degree, who as soon as he finished his internship, went to a little hospital over in Africa. And the world doesn't know Bob Murky, and the Church of the Nazarenes never sang about Bob Murky. But he heard God's call, and he followed God's call. As far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't want to choose between Howard Hamlin and Bob Murky. But Bob Murky's been called, and he's heard God's call, and he's great. Call to greatness. And God wants you and me to be great. Praise the Lord. But finally, and the key to all this is God's call to Abram was a call to a loving trust in his word. Basically, it's who do you believe? Basic sin is unbelief. And God calls us to an identification with him. He said, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. I'll identify with you. I'll be your God. You'll be my people, my person. And this is the gist of the whole thing. Who do you believe? And I really do believe with all my heart this evening that God wants to have a personal, covenant, one-to-one relationship with you, with me. I believe he does have a covenant relationship with many of us, probably with most of us here this evening. But let's just remember that Abram's call is your call. Abram's promises are your promises. Now, some of you older people tonight think I'm preaching to these college kids. You notice here how old he was when he was called. Verse 4, Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He wasn't a teenager either, Sister Crutcher. What are you going to do with a call like this? Listen, the word is for you. Believe. Notice that Abram's faith involved doing something. If Abram had just believed and hadn't left Haran, he never would have made it. But we need to believe enough to leave Ur with his father and then go on his own from Haran. And he followed and he put feet on his face until you read on the front of your bulletin today about how Abram followed God. That's the gist of my message tonight, that portion on the front of your bulletin. And I believe that God wants you to hear and to answer his call. My testimony, at least in part, is on page 397. I don't think that's a dismal old tear-jerking song. To me, it's a testimony of where I am. I can hear my Savior calling, and I'll go with him wherever he leads me, through the garden, to the judgment. He'll give me grace and glory, but I'm going with Jesus. How about you? And I wonder tonight if you would turn to this testimony and stand and sing it with me and sing it from your heart to the Lord. I hear your call. Shall we stand and sing?